This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Exciting weekend it'll be from a sports perspective. We have the Saints playing the Cleveland Browns and the LSU Tigers at Auburn Saturday afternoon. Joining us on the line is Christian Garrick, who is the co-host of Sports Talk. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Doing a good weekend for the Saints for sure.
Absolutely. You know, it's they both come off of really some crazy games. I mean, if you'd have said that the Saints were going to score 40 points and lose, I think everyone would have bet against that. And had you picked the Browns over the Steelers, probably most people would have bet against that as well.
Yeah, I would.
Even though they
that.
Ended up in a tie. I mean, it was a crazy
game.
Yeah,
and look, here's the thing. You win the turnover margin or battle by five, being the Cleveland Browns, by five.
Right.
And you end up with a tie score. Typically, when you win a turnover battle by five, you're winning by about three touchdowns. So I'm not trying to take anything away from the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they're improved. They're an improved football team. But, man, it's hard to come up with a tie and win a turnover battle by five. So it shows you that this team doesn't – there's nothing about them that screams, oh, my gosh, they are big time. Watch out for the Cleveland Browns.
And that was part of the issue for the Saints as well, you know, in the first game with Tampa Bay. They had two turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you lose a turnover battle, you're typically, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, you're gonna lose the game. And that's something that was obvious in that game. They had the scoop and score fumble. But, look, the turnovers and then the mess of a defense, I mean, It was just they can't possibly play any worse this Sunday. They cannot. They played terrible last Sunday, and I think you're going to see a big rebound from this team. They're a little angry. They got humbled last week, but they know that's not their best football. It's not anywhere close.
You know, when we got behind, Christian, I mean, Drew was 37 of 45, 439 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, that's an all-star game, right?
Oh, for sure.
We had little or no rushing yardage, like 40-something yards rushing.
Yeah, and the attempts weren't there. The attempts weren't there because of the way the game started to unfold with it
right.
You know, being falling behind by two scores. That's gonna throw the game plan out the window pretty quick.
But obviously, that created some huge problems for them on offense. Tampa Bay had a number of hurries. And I didn't see that many hurries that we put on Tampa Bay.
No. I mean, look, Fitzpatrick basically sat back there, made a sandwich, grilled some eggs. I mean, cooked some eggs after he threw a pass. I mean, there was no defenders even nowhere near him. And look, the times that they did get hits on him, they got flagged for a late hit, roughing a passer. So the pass rush was non-existent. And I think Cam Jordan looks to change that this week.
Hopefully so. So what are the challenges that Cleveland are going to present for us?
Well, first off, it's Myles Garrett on defense. He's an elite pass rusher, or working his way into that elite status in his second season. He was the number one overall pick a year ago, and he is long, he's athletic, he's explosive, and he'll be a real problem for the Saints when they have the football. Now, the thing about it is, typically what I'm interested to see is typically those kind of pass rushers, teams tend to run right at them to kind of neutralize him a little bit. I want to see if the Saints attack him that way. But he's going to be a problem, and they're good in the secondary on defense. But they also play a very risky defense. Greg Williams, the Saints know him well from his time here in New Orleans. He lives and dies by the blitz. He's going to play a single high safety, put his corners on an island, and man-to-man, his DBs on an island, and make him play coverage and come after Drew. And I think he's going to have to mix it up a little bit. He's not going to be able to do that all the time to Drew. He's going to have to change the coverages and the looks because Drew and the Saints and Sean Payton are masterful at beating the blitz, and you don't want to go one-on-one very often with Alvin Kamara and Mike Thomas and others. So they're going to mix that up a little bit. Offensively, Tyrod Taylor is risk-averse at quarterback. He's going to hold the ball. He gave up seven sacks last week, so he'd rather take sacks than throw interceptions. So they're going to have their opportunity to get after Tyrod Taylor in the passing game and generate a pass rush. And they've got some talent with, obviously, Jarvis Landry at wide receiver and Josh Gordon at wide receiver, Carlos Hyde at running back. So they've got some talent on the offense as well.
So is this a game that we I got the sense that we missed Mark Ingram last week.
Oh, without a doubt.
And, you know, and going into this game this week, obviously, we got to establish a running game early.
They do, and what's interesting here is this is how you miss Mark Ingram, because you don't want to lose Alvin Kamara in the passing game, so you're not going to give him a bunch of touches in the rushing game.
Right.
So who's going to get the rushing attempts? Mike Gillisley put the ball on the carpet last week. You got Boston Scott on the practice squad and Jonathan Williams, who you moved up from the practice squad a week ago. So who's going to be that guy that can spell Mark Ingram? And they do certainly miss him, because you could put Alvin Kamara on the field with Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara could be a threat at wide receiver. You could still run the ball with Mark Ingram. They don't have that luxury now.
So when we think about that, the flip side as it relates to Cleveland. Cleveland actually has been in the first game. They rushed for about 177 yards and passed for 150. So their attack has been more the rushing attack than it has been the passing attack.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrod Taylor went 15 of 40 for, I think, 150 yards, did throw an interception. Yeah. But, yeah, they rushed for 177 yards last week against a pretty decent Steelers front. So, yeah, that's how they're going to want to do it. And that's how they're going to – if they're going to have success against the Saints in a loud environment on the road, that's where they want to go. And the Saints didn't stop the run last week, so I would imagine Cleveland's going to get off the bus and run the football.
Tyrod Taylor scrambles a little bit, I think, last week, 8 carries, 77 yards. So he kind of moves around as well.
Yeah, he's mobile. He's more mobile than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick picks his spots in terms of when to run, and they have some designed runs for Tyrod Taylor. So the Saints are, again, facing another mobile quarterback. And Sean Payton said on Monday on the coach's show, I believe it was, that he didn't like their rush attack, their rushing plan. So I think that they're going to go back and revisit that, what their plan was and how they're going to attack and prevent that from happening against Tyrod Taylor and the Cleveland Browns.
And having watched the game, I thought it was more execution than it was the plan. I saw a lot of missed blocks on offense, a lot of missed tackles on defense.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think that they just got beat, in one-on-one battles. They just got beat, period. And I have a theory as to why the Saints are habitually slow starters, Newell. And I talked to Zach Strief. Obviously, he can give you insight that, because he was there just last year. I asked Zach, and I said, hey, are they slow starters because they're not that physical in camp? And he actually said these camps that Sean Payton run are more physical than probably 25 other teams in the NFL.
Really?
And
okay.
Yeah, and which is it. I found interesting. So I started going, okay, well then, are the players truly recovered from training camp? And I don't know if that's the case. I don't think that is the case, that they are truly recovered from training camp. So that's why you see the Saints perhaps as slow starters to start the season.
We got to get to a break. Christian, can you stay with us a few
Sure.
more minutes? All righty. We'll be right back with Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk, talking to Saints. Big game this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and we're talking to Christian Garrick, co-host of the Sports Talk show. Christian, on the text line, been getting a lot of texts to ask you about the Andrew Robeson story.
Yes, it's one that I've been following closely since it happened late August, and I'm starting to peel the onion back here. We had Coach Nick Saltafamaggio of Hanville High School on Sports Talk last night in a compelling interview, and I would invite everybody, if you missed it and want to hear it or you want to hear it again, it's on our podcast at WWL.com, our on-demand podcast. And the story is simply this, okay? I'll put it in a nutshell. Andrew Robeson, quarterback at Hanville High School, was suspended for a year by the LHSAA for donning a Louisiana High School Football Magazine cover. He graced the cover of the top 60 seniors in the state in a Hanville High School football jersey that he got from another player in lieu or with the help of Coach Saltafamaggio. And he was a Vanderbilt Catholic, and his father used to be a coach there. They didn't renew his contract, so the school, they couldn't afford to pay for tuition to continue to send Andrew Robeson there. And I was told that he was actually offered, the father, Drew Robeson, was offered free tuition for Andrew, and supplemental income if he stayed on as a voluntary assistant at that school. They decided not to do that. He ends up moving to the Hanville School District. They enroll. They lease a house. And this jersey is the reason why he's suspended. So yesterday, the LHSAA had an appeal hearing, which they voted unanimously by the executive committee 14-0 to uphold the original ruling. 14-0. You can't tell me there's not one person. Actually, it was 11-0. Three abstained. So the ones that abstained are so scared of the LHSAA, it's like a mafia. They can't even stand up for what's right or what they feel is right. So 11 principals stood there and didn't have any compassion enough to say, hey, no, this is wrong. I'm going to overturn this ruling. It was unanimous to keep an 18-year-old out for his senior season, which he'll never get back. And this is a divorce between two parents, basically, where the kid gets punished, and it's completely unfair and unjust. And I would invite the high school football community, they should be outraged over this. There needs to be movement.
So
there
what
needs
is
to
the
be
actual,
change at the LHSA.
The issue is that he telegraphed that he was going to Hanville by wearing that jersey?
No, it was not a quote-unquote bona fide move. They didn't establish a bona fide move, according to the LHSAA. But here's the thing. They documented that, and they acknowledged that the Robeson family did move out of their former house in Houma and did establish residency in Hanville School District, but still found them in violation of the bona fide move. And the other part of this is the LHSA investigators were told by the Robeson family about the free tuition offer from Vanderbilt Catholic and the supplemental income to be a voluntary coach, and the investigators did not include that in the report. I wonder why. Because a lot of the LHSAA gets funding from private schools.
So is there another appellate level for them, or is that it?
No, they can file for a temporary restraining order. There's a number of options that are going to come down. This is still unfolding, all right? You're going to see more movement on this on Monday. You could see a temporary restraining order come out by the Robeson family that Hanville could end up acting on. And there's always the possibility that Hanville could say, you know what, LHSAA, we're playing this kid. We're going to play him. And then, of course, they'll have to forfeit victories, et cetera. But it really paints the LHSA, puts them in a bad position, because now you're going to punish the school even further and punish more kids that you originally suspended one kid for a year. So this is politics. This is political. And that's what's frustrating, is because you put a kid in a political mess, and there's still plenty to come on this. This is going to get a lot messier before it gets cleaner.
Well, how sticky does this get for this kid's future in transitioning to college?
It gets sticky in a lot of ways. I mean, this is a quarterback that could play major college football. He's that talented, and he's that kind of a sharp kid, too. He's a really bright young man. By the way, we're going to have him on with Zach Deuce and myself tonight at 6:10. Andrew Robeson's going to be on the air with us.
Oh,
and
we'll listen to that. I mean, that's the tragedy here is that this thing is bigger than football. But this kid, you know, it screws up his whole transition to collegiate play.
Did you see the hearing yesterday?
No, I did not.
He asked them what he could have done, and they couldn't answer that. He asked them, what was I supposed to do?
What would have been the appropriate path for me to take? And the governing body has no answer.
Zero.
That's incredible. Well, let's get back to the case at hand with the Saints. So what are your final thoughts and your prediction?
Yeah, I think the Saints right themselves. I think they've had a good week of practice, and I think they're humbled a little bit, a little angry as well, based on last week's showing. And I think you're going to see a decisive Saints victory Sunday.
And when you say decisive, you're talking the point spread's what, 9?
Eight and a half. I think they cover. I really do. I think that the Saints are so much more talented. And I know that was the case last week. They were so much more talented than the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I was going to say,
They didn't play well. They just didn't play well. And I think that they're going to play much better this week, having been humbled a little bit.
Well, it's rare that the coach allows two back-to-back crummy games by this team.
Yeah.
When you look back, it's rare that occurs.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, they couldn't possibly play any worse. That was their worst game of the year. It probably will be for the entire season. You can't play that poorly 2 weeks in a row.
There are those that say, how do you cure the tackling issue in 1 week? Is it just really focus more than anything else?
I think it's want to. Yeah. You know, I think that it comes down to want to, you know, and the players know that. And they're not going to be hitting in practice and all that stuff. So, by the way, Newell, let me just go back real quick to the Andrew Robeson story. My Twitter feed since last night has been on fire. And the groundswell of the high school football community is really upset by this. They're bothered by this whole situation. And I'm watching my Twitter feed right now, and it is, like, blowing up. But I know I got off track there. But
no, not a problem. I mean, it's a big story. You always feel for kids that have exceptional talent. They do the right things. You know, when you add the combination of the divorce issue here and all of this other stuff, and you just wish the best for all of the young athletes.
I know you got to run, but they told Andrew Robeson, if you want to play football, go back to your old school. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, that's a solution that it may not be financially affordable for that young man. Thank you so much, Christian. Look forward to listening to you on Sunday. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.